It's a Rishus, Gemara D'Asri here, Rabbi Elishan Shlita, Rabbi David Shlita, Rabbi Chesky Shlita. I always wanted to say that. And all the other Rabbanim I see over here, and Baruch Shem, some of them are Mispalim in the Shul. So it's always a pleasure and an honor for me to come to a Beis Medrash like this. You boys are doing things that I didn't do at your age. I did not sit and learn in a Beis Medrash when I was your age. And I'm very jealous of you, and B'ezus Hashem, you'll use your time at your age much better than I did at your age, and grow up and become really big Talmidei Chachamim. So I was asked to speak specifically about vaccinations, and I'll try to leave time for questions as well. You can ask me on any other subject as well if you want, so I'll be makatzer. I'll shorten briefly the discussion. It's a very, very, very important discussion. It's always an important discussion. It's an especially important discussion right now when I have gotten easily 100 shailas from Balabatim, people across the country, across Eretz Yisrael. What do I do? I'm in this matzav, I'm in this situation where I have a baby and the class is going on a Shabbaton to Lakewood. Can I bring my baby? Because there's an outbreak in Lakewood. I'm going to Muncie for Shabbos. We have a bar mitzvah there. My kid is, Rahman Lutzan, had cancer. Baruch Hashem, he's doing well. He's not vaccinated. What do we do? Do we not go to the bar mitzvah? Do we cancel? Do we go? Do we just be nervous? My own children, my own grandson and granddaughter have to get extra vaccinations and gamma globulin shots because they were exposed in Gan to somebody with measles. This is an important halacha l'maisa subject. I have gotten more shailas about this than the same Talmud Matar, Yalav Yavo, which are the normal type of shailas that I get on a daily basis. I forgot to say same Talmud Matar. We just started this past week. You've been doing it already. You're beyond the 30 days. You hopefully are in a regilus already. So I get lots of shailas about that. Shailas about I put the wrong spoon in the dishwasher. Those shailas are abounding. But Pikuach Mefashas shailas. So you don't hear so often. Rav Moshe Zatzal would complain that nobody asked him shailos about chinuch habonim, and people didn't ask him shailos about momenos tzedakah. They always asked him shailos about issa v'heter. So this is berumo shalolim. This is a very, very lofty subject. It's truly pikuach nefashos, and for some people, unfortunately, rachmana litzlan, there's already been one death here in Eretz Yisrael. Rachmana litzlan should be no more. But this is a shaila that shouldn't be a shaila. Lanias dati, this should not be a shaila. Because we have a means to prevent this. And the Torah tells us, in Ishmaritim Otis Nachshaseichem, the person has an obligation both not to put themselves in danger. Chavola on yourself is an isser. And certainly to be chovel somebody else is definitely an isser as well. Those that do the Mishnah Yomis, which is a wonderful thing. They're doing Bava Kama right now. So we just have the concept. If you tell somebody, be chovel me, do you have to pay? Do you not have to pay if you gave them permission to be chovel you? You're not allowed to be chovel somebody else. That's for sure. So this shaila is not only a personal health shaila, but with measles as opposed to other vaccines. And I'm focusing today on measles. We can have a discussion about other vaccinations at another time. If you have questions about it, I'd be happy to take that. But let's focus on measles bedavka, because measles is not only a personal shaila, but it's a shaila that impacts all of Klal Yisrael and all the rest of the world. This is not the first outbreak of measles in the Frum community. I wish it was the second, the third, the fourth. It's the umpteenth outbreak in the last decade in Frum communities. I would show you slides, I would show you details. There's 10, 15 such outbreaks in Frum communities of measles, some with mumps. The only time the word chavrusa is mentioned in the New England Journal of Medicine was in a 2013 paper of a large outbreak of mumps in Brooklyn, in Riverdale, and in England. And the word chavrusa is literally written in the New England Journal of Medicine. I didn't do a search. I'm sure it's the only time the word chavrusa is mentioned there. And they postulate that one of the reasons why these illnesses spread so quickly in the Orthodox Jewish community is because you're sitting across from your chavrusa and yelling in his face, you don't know Tosas, you don't know Pshat or Rebbe Akiva Eger, and you're yelling back and forth at each other, and the guys next to you are also in that immediate airspace, and these things are transmitted via aerosolization, via airborne transmission, and if you're next to somebody for 6-8 hours at a time, and you're contagious, so that's how it spreads so quickly in a Beis Medrash setting, and that is taka correct. This is not just the, you know, a havamina. This is, in fact, the way this disease is spread. That's why their announcements after the exposure to measles, anybody that was in the Big Apple pizza store on Tuesday from 12 to 2, you were exposed. Anybody was in this place, that place. This is all in the Department of Health newsletters that they send out to every single doctor in New York for the New York Department of Health. I'm sure the Department of Health here in Eretz Yisrael did similar things. Were you exposed? Were you not exposed? So they tell you the places where the person who was contagious was. So these are real halacha l'maisa pikuach nefesh shailos that come up. Because there are some people, rachmana litzlan, if you have cancer, if you had certain types of bone marrow transplants, if you have certain types of immunodeficiencies, you can't take the measles vaccine because it's a live vaccine, what we call an attenuated live vaccine, which means we give you a very shvacha measles-like virus that can't really get you sick, but your body recognizes it as measles and your body builds up an immunity and a defense. So if you're ever exposed to the real McCoy, your body says, I've seen that already, I know how to fight it, and therefore you're able to protect yourself against what is a potentially, rahman al-Islam, fatal disease. Roughly 1 in 1,000 people, lo aleinu, die from measles. So there have been about 2,000, almost 2,000 cases of measles right now in this outbreak, Baruch Hashem. There's only been one death. We could expect, Rechmon al-Islam, to have another death or two, lo aleinu. So this is a serious question. So my question to all of you is, what is the tzad not to get a measles vaccine? We have an excellent, not perfect, nothing in medicine is perfect, HaKadosh Baruch is perfect, nothing else in life is perfect, and therefore we do not have a perfect measles vaccine, but we have a really good one with about a 98% efficacy, which means that 98% of the time, if you took this vaccine and you get exposed to measles, nothing will happen to you. And if everybody has this vaccine, so then even if one person does manage to get measles, he probably won't spread it because everybody else is vaccinated. It's very unlikely that you'll spread it to vaccinated other people. And that's a concept called herd immunity, which, again, is a fact. You know, if you drop an apple, it falls on the ground, there's no two sides to the story. Maybe the apple won't fall, maybe the apple will fall. There's no two tzadim. There's not a Reb Chaim Brisk on every single shayla in the world. If there aren't two tzadim, the apple is going to fall to the ground. That's gravity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set teva into place. He breaks teva when he wants to. We don't break teva. So teva says the apple's going to fall. Teva says that if most people are vaccinated, even if there's somebody that can't get vaccinated and they were to get measles, it will not spread. You need about 95% of the people to be vaccinated in order not to spread the illness on a high likelihood. Below that, you start getting epidemics like we're in right now because there's so much exposure to so many unvaccinated people, it can overwhelm even somebody who's been vaccinated. This is a medical concept, less non-depolic. Everybody agrees with this. This is not something that is open to discussion, despite the fact that you may read there are people that question this. So what's the halacha on Shabbos? If you have a mumcha that comes up and says you have to be mechal Shabbos, you have a non-mumcha that says don't be mechal Shabbos, the halacha is you're mechuyiv to be mechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to listen to the non-mumcha, you must listen to the mumcha. This is exactly the same thing. The mumcha says you must be vaccinated. Every mumcha says this. There aren't different opinions amongst the mumcha. The Infectious Disease Society of America, there are about about 5,000 experts. Mumcha is an expert. There are about 5,000 experts in the United States that are board certified infectious disease physicians. I don't know one of those 5,000 that disagrees with what I'm saying. Certainly the official position agrees with this. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, that's the YU-based medrash, that's Lakewood. It doesn't get better than that. That's the official governing body of infectious diseases. VADA, you should get vaccinated, the vaccines work, herd immunity works. Every single Department of Health in the United States, 50 departments of health, they all run separately. They're not mechuyev to listen to what the other one says. And everything else, they don't listen to each other. It's not like there's one opinion across the board for obesity, for diabetes. There's lots of machlokes. Here there's zero machlokes. Every pediatric society, the Pediatric Infectious Disease Society, the Red Book, which is the pediatric guideline, They all 100% unanimous agree with this vaccination. And right now, let's leave it with measles. Talk about other vaccines some other time. So all the mumchim, all the experts say you are mechuyev to get vaccinated. There is no opinion that says otherwise. So for me, lanias dati is a very simple question. You have a pikuach nefasha situation over here. You have the mumcha, especially alachas kama v'kama. How much more so in the time where you have a mageifa right there was real pikuach nefasha. It's not a theoretical shaila. What if someone to talk out? Oh, the Noda Biyuda says you're not allowed to go do an autopsy because it's not a holy for necha. Famous tshuva of the Noda Biyuda talks about autopsies. Yes or no? So the Noda Biyuda paskins, we paskin this lamaisa. If you have a person in bed A that you gave a drug to, and the person in bed B would need to get the same drug, and you're waiting to see what happens in bed A. Rahman al-Islam, bed A dies, so you're allowed to do an autopsy on the guy in bed A. Did he die from the natural illness? Did he die from the disease? Or did he die from the drug? Halacha lamaisa, you're mechuyev to do an autopsy because you have a cholel lefaneinu. The bed B guy, does he get the drug? Does he not get the drug? So this is the same exact thing. You have a cholel lefaneinu. This is going to occur, unfortunately. So you're mechuyev. That's the halach. I don't understand how anybody can paskin otherwise. This is the psak of Rav Yashiv Zatzal. We learn from Rav Yashiv. This is the psak of Mechaim Mechaim Rav Osher Weiss Shlita, the posek of Shari Tzedek. This is the psak of my Rabbein, Rav Hershel Shechter Shlita, Rav Willig Shlita. This is the psak of numerous other people from all walks of life. Rav Sternberg Shlita. Not a modern Orthodox rabbi from the last time I saw him. I was supposed to speak with him a number of years ago, a number of medical halachic shaylas. The head of the Eid, the Haredis, mechuyev to vaccinate, mechuyev not to let these children are unvaccinated into yeshiva. So this is a very, very, very important shayla. You have to know what the Gedolim say. I'll take questions in a moment. Let me just finish one or two things. So this is a very important shayla. So you are mechuyev to get vaccinated, certainly in an outbreak situation. There is a minority opinion, I can't deny it. There are those posting that aren't mechayev you to get vaccinated. It's not the accepted Muslim opinion, and that minority opinion, I'm not sure medically what it's based upon. I've spoken with those minority opinion Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not here to chas v'shom. I'm not in the level to even get to the toenails of these Rosh Yeshiva. I have spoken with some of them. I don't understand the shita. I don't understand the medical facts of it. No, it's a minority opinion. We follow our rabbein. We follow the poskim. And the poskim all seem to suggest you're mechuyev to get vaccinated. Is there a risk in vaccination? There's always a risk in everything in life. You take an aspirin, you take a Tylenol. There's a risk involved. You always have to weigh the risk-benefit. Halacha tells us that when a person weighs pikuach nefashos, this is said in the Aruch HaShulchan, this is said in the Mishnah Berurah, this is said in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, take your pick, whichever Shulchan Aruch modern-day posek you wish to go by. So you're mechuyev to always save somebody else's life. You have to weigh it in a pelis, in a balanced scale, and if it's not so risky, you're supposed to save somebody else's life. Well, here you're literally saving other people's life by going and vaccinating yourself. Because even if you want to argue, I will be able to not get sick, which is not true, but if you're willing to take a personal risk yourself, but if you get sick and get other people sick, you're going to injure other people. So you don't have a right to say, I'm not going to go save somebody else's life because when I toss them the life preserver in the ocean, I may pull out my shoulder and then I'll have to go to the hospital, get an injection, I'll get an infection, and I'll die. So that's you weigh down your balance scale, that's ridiculous. So you're mechuyev to go and save the other person's life. So here you're literally going and saving other people's life. Again, I don't think the halachic shayla gets off the ground in a vaccine preventable illness like measles when you're in the midst of a fatal, potentially fatal epidemic that you're mechuyev to get vaccinated. Absolutely. That's the psak that I have, that's the psak of my rebbeim, that's the psak of Ro Gidola Yisro. You had a question? Ah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, yes. So that's a different, very important shaila. Everybody, first of all, there's no posek under the sun, including Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, including Rav Aaron Malkiel Kotler. No posuk says it's awesome to get vaccinated. That's a misconception. I have personally spoken to some of these poskim. They absolutely do not say it's awesome to get vaccinated. Now, to be fair, the minority of poskim say that a school doesn't have the right to exclude you. Rav Sternberg Shlita, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, Rav Willi Shlita, Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Al-Yashin Shlita, Zatzah, all the other great poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, all the great poskim from the previous generation currently disagree with that opinion. So you have the majority of the Gedolim, if you just take the pure numbers, I'm not weighing Gedolim against each other, the majority of the Gedolim disagree. What do you? You don't want to get vaccinated, you have the right not to get vaccinated. I don't think that's correct, but let's assume that position. What right do you have to put all the other children at risk? Because you avoid by putting them at risk. So all the other Gedolim that I just mentioned say that a yeshiva has absolutely the right. It is also, I point out, Lanias Dati Sheker, to sign a declaration in New York and New Jersey to say that it is against Jewish law not to get vaccinated, which, by the way, is the only way that you're allowed to enter a yeshiva, as well as a public school, is if you sign a religious exemption stating that your religion forbids vaccination. La'aniyaz dati, there is no such religion that is Shomer Torah Mitzvah's religion that says it's forbidden to get vaccination. What they say is you're not mechuyev to get vaccinated. But that's not what secular law says. And secular law says you're not allowed to go to yeshiva. You have to be homeschooled unless you go and state that your religion forbids you to get vaccinated. So what's the heter for sheker? I don't know. What's the heter to take if the yeshiva doesn't allow you into the yeshiva to go take them to a secular court instead of a beis din? I don't know either. And yet they're taking them left and right. They're taking the yeshivas. I get called once a night from a yeshiva. What should we do? We're being taken to court because they're insisting that we let their children in. So I said, did they offer to take you to Beis Din? Go to Beis Din. Go to the RCA Beis Din. Go to a Beis Din. Let the Beis Din paskin. They said, no, they took us straight to secular court. What's the heter to go to secular court? I have no idea. I have no idea what the heter is to go to secular court when there's a chiyuv to go to Beis Din. These are all frum people. They're all elucha people. So I don't know what the heck there is in that situation as well. Yes?
There's been an outbreak in the community, right?
Yes.
So it hasn't been like a block of like frum people in these communities like side off, like back in the children, that's how it's happening? Or is a lot of them in Florida?
No. So in the United States, Baruch Hashem, I believe in Eretz Yisrael as well, there's nobody that should not get vaccinated because, of course, the vaccinations are free and available to you if you can't afford them. I believe that's true in Eretz Yisrael. I believe that's true in the United States as well. Somebody is so poor that they can't afford it. So the vaccines are all given free by the various governmental programs. So that's also not a legitimate reason. So what is the reason these people don't get vaccinated? So there is an incorrect scientifically thought idea that the vaccines cause certain problems. So autism, right? So the famous study, there's one study, I shouldn't call it a study, there was one farce that was published in The Lancet in 1998 that seemed to suggest that autism was linked to vaccines being given. It made a tremendous amount of news. It is still quoted and misrepresented today as being MS. So you should know about that study. It was originally written by a Dr. Wakefield. He's no longer Dr. Wakefield. He's now Mr. Wakefield. His medical license was taken away because he falsified the data. This is not me saying this. This is the English court saying you falsified the data. Why would he falsify the data? Because lawyers paid him off. So they would have a reason to go get damages for the children that got vaccinated and then got autism and to connect the two. He falsified the data. There are 17 co-authors on the paper with him. All of those co-authors, except the one who I believe passed away, retracted the paper because they said he fooled them. So that paper has been retracted, which means it's sheker. The original author, Wakefield, Mr. Wakefield, has been disbarred. I never heard of a medical term for getting rid of your medical degree, so I'll call it disbarred. He lost his medical license. He's now Mr. Wakefield. He committed a crime. The paper's retracted. The CDC has 30 published papers looking at a link between the MMR, which is the measles, and German measles and rubella vaccine, looking 30 papers to see if there's any connection between that and autism. Zero. Not even a little bit. So it's sheker. It's all based upon a false paper And that is what everybody says, vaccines are related to autism. Now, the other argument that people make is there are too many vaccines. Again, I don't want to discuss that question today. Anybody that doesn't want to take a personal vaccine, it's like if somebody wants to have 7 portions of chocolate cake, which I personally think is a very healthy diet, but we'll leave that for another side. If somebody wants to have obesity problems, if somebody wants to have smoking, Rahman said, horrible, horrible thing, but you're mostly affecting yourself. Ramosha said you're not allowed to smoke in front of anybody else because you're not allowed to affect somebody else. If you're not allowed to smoke in front of somebody else, how can you give measles to somebody else? I don't understand the reasoning not to get vaccinated. I just don't understand that there's so many halakhic reasons that you should get vaccinated to help other people. Even leaving that all aside, if you don't want to get vaccinated for a personal problem, it won't affect other people, because okay, if that's your choice, I think you're making a terrible mistake, but you're not impacting me. If you want to have 10 pieces of kugel, so you have a right to do that. If Rahman Rasan, you were to get heart disease, if you were to get diabetes, that's your personal problem. I can't catch diabetes from you. I can't catch heart disease from you. Rahman Rasan, I can't catch cancer from you. But I can catch measles from you. So when it comes to something that you're putting other people at risk, it's a different discussion. There is no study, none, all the stuff that you read by the anti-vaxxers, there is no study. I ask you to show me a published paper suggesting that the measles vaccine is more dangerous than the potential risk for getting measles. Is the measles vaccine perfect? I told you, no vaccine is perfect. Did anybody ever get a problem from a vaccine? The answer is yes. But you have to weigh everything in life. Crossing the street's a risk, but you'll have to cross the street. Taking an aspirin has a risk to it. I think taking an aspirin is probably a higher risk than the measles vaccine. But you're allowed to take an aspirin. Show me the sign of Hashem. You're allowed to take these things because that's the normal way of the world. How are you allowed to take a shower? You could slip in the shower. So I know some people that are machmir and they don't take a shower. We'll do that for another discussion as well. But you're allowed to do certain things because that's the normal way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So giving vaccines, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability. Ani Hashem Rofa Echa, we say, why we all have all the ideas that on Seder night there was 200 makas, 250 makas. We all want to be marbe in the makas. Why? Because it says called a makla, and shasanti be mitzrayim, lo asim alecha. Every makah that I give you in mitzrayim, I will not give to you. That's preventative medicine. We want all these makas there so they won't come to us. Here we have an opportunity to prevent a makla gedola, rachmana litzlan. So again, I think you're obligated to do so. All of my rabbeim and kimap, all the gedola Yisrael are saying the same exact thing. And alachas kama v'kama, when you have a ongoing epidemic that could be rachman l'slan much more serious than it is. And I'll take any questions if you have for it. Yeah. So Lanias Dati, I'm a very, very, very big proponent of the flu shot. Here you get a lot more scientific argument that it's not very good, but it's also, Lanias Dati, it's tipshus. Because something's not very good, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. The risks of the flu shot are also minuscule. Flu is a fatal disease. In the United States alone last year, it's estimated that 80,000 people died from the flu. 200 babies, young children, died from the flu last year. There's nowhere near the even minor illnesses that you get from the flu shot in comparison to that. The argument against taking the flu vaccine is scientifically very, very, very strong. The argument is it's not perfect. It was only 35% effective last year. Nope, it's 35% effective. So if 200 babies would have died, and almost all those babies didn't get the flu shot. Flu shot's not perfect. You could die even though you got the flu shot. But the vast majority of those 200 babies, Rahman al-Litzan, 200 babies dying. In the United States, let's say, I don't know the number of Eretz Yisrael. So if 35% of them would have been prevented, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Instead of saying only 35% are prevented, I'd say, wow, we prevented 35%. But it's even more than that. Of those that get the shot, even if they get flu, it's more often not fatal. So I would suggest that probably 50, 60% would not have died if they'd gotten the flu shot. So when you weigh that against what's the risk of getting the flu shot, it's minuscule. I've gotten flu shot, Kenai Nahara, since 1983, every year. I'm the first one. I usually get in the newspaper to show everybody. It's very, very important. And I tell everybody in my shul, I give a share each year on flu shots. You should get vaccinated. They make the poor mishpil, they always joke that all I do is talk about flu shots. But it's pikuach nefashos. Rishach the Shlita said the first thing a Rav should do when he comes into a community, it's brought down by Yerushalmi as well, brought down in Mishnah Berurah, a Rav has to talk about what to do if there's a fire in the shul on Shabbos, what to do if there's a fire in the house on Shabbos. You have to know pikuach nefashos. Afterwards you can learn, there's the milchik and knife fleishach now or not. That's, in comparison, it's not pikuach nefashos. All important, all Torah Hashem. You got to teach pikuach nefashos first. So, in my opinion, flu shots are chiyuv. I don't understand how anybody can say otherwise. I understand that others disagree. But scientifically, it's a very, very good vaccine.
Because there's so many different strains of flu, would it be better to get multiple flu shots?
No. So the way the flu shot works is it's a little bit of a guess. We look and see what happens in the southern hemisphere, because that usually prefaces what will happen to us. And they give either three or four of the most likely strains, and they put them into a vaccine, and you get an injection. It's not perfect. They're working and working and working on having a universal flu shot. Yezus Hashem, you're a doctor maybe, they'll have that answer. So right now we don't have that. So we have to take a yearly flu shot. But it's a very, very worthwhile, I highly recommend it. I make sure all my kids and grandchildren get it right away. I wouldn't do anything to hurt my grandchildren. Nothing. Which grandparent? A parent, you're not so careful. A grandparent, you wouldn't. There's nothing in the world you wouldn't do for your grandchildren. So I give it to them right away. I don't worry about narishkeits. I worry about Rahman al-Islam, real illness that could be prevented. Yeah.
What do you think about the controversy around antibiotics?
Okay, so you've come to the right person. I spent my entire career telling people they're taking way too many antibiotics. I'm known in the neighborhood, I like to always say this, people come to me on Shabbos, we line up on Friday night, they'll come up and say Shabbos to the Rav. I get two questions each week, two or three people as they come by, Rabbi, can I take this medication on Shabbos? So I ask, who are you asking? Are you asking Rabbi Glad or are you asking Dr. Glad? There's always an antibiotic that they ask me about. So I say, if you're asking Rabbi Glad, Rabbi Glad's going to say your doctor prescribed it for you, it's head to gomer to take it on Shabbos. If you're asking Dr. Glad, your rabbi, not Rabbi Glad, your doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't need the antibiotic. So therefore, Dr. Glad would say, you're not allowed to take the antibiotic on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take it on Tuesday. And therefore, Rabbi Glatt would paskin based on Dr. Glatt that you're not allowed to take the antibiotic. Because the vast majority, this is MS, the vast majority of antibiotics prescribed in the outpatient setting are garbage. They're unnecessary and useless, and if anything, they just cause trouble. Our hospital, we're one of 25 hospitals in the country that is recognized by the Infectious Disease Society of America as being a center of excellence for antimicrobial stewardship. It's a fancy word saying we know what we're doing with antibiotics. This is what I spent most of my career on, telling people they don't need an antibiotic for that cough. They don't need an antibiotic for that viral infection. They don't need an antibiotic for that sinusitis. They don't need an antibiotic for that ear infection. Because almost all the time it's a virus and the antibiotics don't work. And all you're doing with the antibiotics is causing potential toxicity. But that's a separate shayla. We could have another shiur. You invite me back next year, Mitzvah Shem, we could talk about that. But it's a big problem. People don't know what they're doing in medicine. So when doctors don't know what they're doing, it gives a very, very, it's a big problem. And the majority of doctors don't know what they're doing with antibiotics. That's why the government has now put out that hospitals have to have antibiotic programs, because there's so much misunderstanding and error in this area. But that's not vaccines. Vaccines are different. That's Vaday, very, very good. Yeah.
How do Rosh Yeshiva Migdolim say that you don't have to get vaccines to back that up?
Say it again?
How do Rosh Yeshiva Migdolim say you don't have to get vaccines to back it up?
So I can't answer for them. You'd have to ask them. They don't believe in the science that I'm saying. I don't understand. I was always taught, when you're asking a medical question, you ask the doctor. You're asking a shayla, you ask the Rav. And the Rav needs to know when to ask the doctor, and the doctor needs to know when to ask the Rav. I can't tell you, I get lots of shaylas of end of life. A lot of rabbanim call me up, Rosh Yeshivas, a lot of doctors call me up. I live in both worlds. I would say 50% of the time, I tell them, you're asking the wrong shayla. What you're asking me is absolutely incorrect. I know medicine, and what you're telling me is incorrect. A significant percentage of the time, I say, go back and ask the doctor, have the doctor call me. I tell the Rav, speak to the doctor, have the Rav call me back. I'll speak with the doctor and the Rav together. I don't possibly for another Rav. But I'm telling you, they're giving misinformation. And then when they clarify, I say, if you'd given the information, I would have possibly, you can take the person off the respirator. If you give me the information correctly, I say, you have to leave the person on the respirator, or vice versa. So it's two different shilas. If it's not presented correctly, a Rav, Reshech the Shlita, always used to say, it's lo min hashamayim. Remember telling the story about the Rav Zatzal? I love to tell this story. I've said it many, many times. Such a powerful story. And Reshech the Shlita was in the Rav's Shia, the Rav Shabir Salavachin. And the boys asked him at that time, I think they came out with the wind-up watches, that if you wear them, they would wind automatically by movement. So he asked the Rav, are you allowed to wear this on Shabbos? And Rav Shechter said in the voice of the Rav, boys, bring me a screwdriver. And they brought the Rav a screwdriver, they took the watch apart, and I never knew that he put the watch back together. Afterwards, and the Rav passed the Shaila after he saw what the facts are. It's not a nevuah, lo b'shemayim. You can't pass the Shaila without knowing the facts. And Anias Dati, when a Rav, I have this all the time, my Rav said you have to do everything. You have to do everything. It's not correct. You don't have to do everything. Sometimes it's chavola. Sometimes all you're doing is marich and esamisa. You're not doing anything positive. Shulchan Aruch Gemara says that you're allowed to stop banging if the goseis is trying to die, and the banging is keeping him awake. So sometimes what we're doing is kineged the halacha. So again, you have to know the facts. No Rav can pask in a shayla hilchus Shabbos, hilchus Nida, hilchus Treifus, in anything if you don't know the facts. Right? We're learning chulin now in the Daf Yomi. You got to know anatomy. You don't know anatomy. How do you pask in the shayla and Treifus? You don't know the difference between the pancreas and the liver. How do you pask in the shayla? You don't understand the four stomachs of a ruminating behemoth. If you don't understand what's intestines and what's small intestines, large intestines, how do you pask in a shayla? So you have to see it. It's not a theoretical concept. It's not a nevuah. You can ask a navi a shayla. If there's a navi around, you go ask if you get vaccinated or not. Until then, we have to go by the medical facts. I don't want to go beyond my tongue.
Okay. What do you think about STD
vaccines?
Yeah, that are offered to like people that are out in the assumption that, I mean, you just get tested along with our wife.
So that's a very, very good question that would take me probably an hour to give a full detailed answer. The question was, for those that didn't hear, there are some vaccines, and again, I want to come across as an honest person. I don't recommend every vaccine. Some vaccines are appropriate, some vaccines are inappropriate, some vaccines are outright dangerous if you're not in the risk group. If you go take Japanese encephalitis vaccine for the virus, you're not exposed to it. All it could be is causing you toxicity. The cholera virus is a horrible vaccine. The cholera vaccine is a horrible vaccine. The yellow fever vaccine, not so great. I don't recommend vaccines inappropriately. So the HPV vaccine is what you were talking about, which is to prevent the sexually transmitted disease. That's what STD is. So there are reasons to give it in the frum community. There are reasons not to give it. So that's a whole separate shayla. I think it's an absolutely good vaccine that is nothing wrong in giving it. Is that where I would say Yahari Valyava? That's where I want to make a stand and say that everybody in the frum world should get that vaccine? Lav Dafka. That to me is almost a personal decision that you have to know. Are you guaranteed that your children are going to be on the derech for the rest of their lives? Are you guaranteed that their partner is going to be on the derech for the rest of their lives and has always been on that? That nobody's ever been a Baal Tshuva? That nobody, Rahman al-Hassan, ever been an Anusa? That nobody ever had a bad day? All these are different aspects of the Shaila. Is there risk to it? Minimal. Is it a good vaccine? Absolutely. Is it absolutely necessary for every frum person to get it? Let's have that discussion over a cup of coffee. That's not Yahari Vayava. It's not measles. Yitz Hashem, in the schus of our learning, I can't protect us all, but we also have ishtavus to do to protect ourselves.